Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Well, we're back. Real people, not a camera. We have got a camera as well, though, of course, so for those that can't be with us today. And I've asked, whilst we're not able to sing in church, I've asked Carol to play a bit into the service to allow us to worship. And it sounded like, as I caught the back end of that, it may have been in honour of His Royal Highness. So it was, yes, I thought it might be. So we do be praying for our Queen as she goes through the next few years. Just a few pieces of news for you. As I've just said, although we are back in our buildings, we will continue to film or stream our services where we can. We don't have the technology here to stream. In fact, I found out this morning we don't have the technology at St. Nicholas's either, but that's another story. But we will be filming, and this service will go out at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And also our Wednesday service as well. We will have our physical Wednesday service always here now. God has blessed us with a regular Wednesday hire at St. Nicholas's, so we're going to have our communion here. And then that will go out on Thursday at 10 a.m. So that's for your information and for those who join us on the internet as well. You may have picked up and wondered what this bite-sized Bible thing was, as you've seen it on the news sheet. Well, some of us started reading through our Bibles just after Easter, on Easter Monday. And the idea is that if you've ever tried to read the whole of the Bible and just gone, that's just hard work. You can just choose to read what you want. So you could just read the Gospels in the year, and you'll just get a short Gospel each day. You can just read that, and you can, by the end of the year, you would have read all the Gospels. Or you could choose to read the New Testament as well, and by the end of the year, you would have read all the Gospels and the New Testament. Or you could choose to read the wisdom books and such, and the Psalms. Or you could choose to do what I'm doing and read the whole thing. So that's not very much of a bite size, is it? So. And you can get those readings by email every week. So if you want to get them by email, just let the office know. Or you can get them on, they're on the sheet every week. So you get the whole of the week's readings in one block, as it were, on the sheet. And you choose then to divide that up as you will. Or if you want a booklet with it all in, give me a shout and I'll make sure you get a booklet with it all in. That's what Susie does. She's a ticker. She likes ticking off paper. So she's been doing that and ticking off her boxes over the last few weeks, but not too late to join us anyway. You can join us with that. And also this morning, we announced some wonderful news. For those of you who know Polly Honeychurch, who regularly leads at St. Nicholas's and sometimes comes here to help as well, and we'll be doing more of that in the future. Well, she announced this morning what we have known for a little while but had to hold back on, is that she has been recommended for training in for ordination. So she's been going for that discernment process, just like Emily is right now, over some time. And she had what they call her BAP, which is an interview panel, and has been recommended for training starting in September. So be praying for Polly and the family, because they don't leave a quiet life already, and now they've got this on top of it. So that's really good news. And later in the year, when Emily goes for her BAP, we'll be praying for her. And if you don't know Emily, by the way, wave your hand, Emily. Emily has been joining us on placement to get to know a slightly different church to the one that she comes from. And we've been getting on great guns, but she hasn't very much been in the buildings yet, because we've been doing it all online together. You may have seen her on the Wednesday sermons and the Wednesday communions as well. So you can catch up on all her sermons on the internet if you want. I'll embarrass her and say they're very good. Obviously, they're not quite as good as mine, obviously. But if only that were true. And finally, a piece of somewhat sad news. You may have picked up that Olive, our dear friend, passed away a little while ago. She moved away a little while ago and then has since passed away. Well, her funeral is this Friday. And we're hoping that we'll be able to watch it. If you want to watch the funeral, I think it's around 1:30, we said, didn't we? We did. We're hoping that we're going to get the link for before the funeral. If you want to have that link, email me, and then as soon as I get it, I'll email everyone the link to watch the funeral, if that's what you want to do. But also, just to say, not to worry too much, because we are in the process of finalising the date for a memorial service for Olive here with her daughters for slightly later in the year. So we'll have that later in the year as well. Right. Well, of course, what we're really here today to do today is to enjoy communion together and to share in the bread together as we worship our God. So let's be quiet for a little while before we begin, and then we'll say our prayer of preparation together. And so we open in prayer together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. We pause to reflect on our lives before we come before a God who's keen to forgive us. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all as we confess together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in a time when we're not allowed to sing in our churches, we worship using the Gloria together, as we say, Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So we come to that moment where we say thank you to God in the collect, the prayer of the week. And before I pray the collect, a moment of silence for you to say your own prayer of quiet thanks to our God. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we're now going to have our first reading from Philippians. Brought in the big guns. Got a church warden to do this one.
The reading is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Aphroditus the gifts you sent. They are fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Whilst we normally stand for the gospel, we'll remain seated for the gospel at the moment. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Reading from chapter 12, starting at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. And for where your treasure is there, your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let's pray for a moment before I share what I believe God has said to me this week. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, we pray that we might hear your Holy Spirit. Guide us as we reflect on what it means to be content in Jesus. Might we know your will. Amen. So, what is the secret of happiness? Nice, easy topic for today. Well, some of you will know, I think I've shared before, that when I, early on when I became a father, a dear friend said to me a quote, and I've read this quote many times since in books and other places, but I've never quite found out the source of it. But the quote goes like this. No one ever said on their deathbed, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. Now, the friend who shared that with me looked into my very soul when he shared it with me. And he saw the fear I had regarding money and was bold enough and cared enough to share it with me. I've explained before that the fear I had of not having enough money drove me in my early adult life to make all my decisions about pursuing money, and much of my later adult life still reflected some of that. Now, I was going to provide for my family, provide for their needs. Of course, their needs didn't actually make me do what I then did, which was go and pursue a career, you know, more money, bigger cars, bigger house, more holidays. It wasn't really those needs that they needed. They just needed their needs covered and then needed, you know, their dad, their husband at home. Thankfully, that friend cared enough to share that with me and interrupted my destructive path early enough for me to turn it around and not impact my children and my wife any further. But had you come to me during that time and said, what would make you happy, Max? What will make you content? I probably would have said something along the lines of, another £30,000 should do it. What about you? What is it that makes you content? What is it that makes you happy? Healthy family, money maybe something else, I don't know. What is it for you that would make you content? Perhaps a good indication is, where do you spend your time given the choice? Where do you spend your money given the choice? What is it for you? You see, we've been looking at this series, Discipleship Explored, during the time that we've not been in our buildings. And if you've missed any of those, they are all on the website, and I'd encourage you to go through it. It's been a great series. Well, it certainly has been for me. I don't know anyone else. I've been really challenged by it. And we're coming to the end of that today. This is our last one today, where we find out what it means to be content in Christ. And we've been going through this book of Philippians in this series, and Paul then comes to this point at the very end and focuses on contentment. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. We heard Anne say, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So why does Paul come to this crescendo at the end of Philippians? Why does Philippians lead us to the point where finally we talk about contentment in Christ? I'd urge you, of course, to go and watch those discussion videos on the website that go around this. But as I've explored this topic this last week and beyond, one thing has come to mind for me. And I don't think you're going to guess what that is until I go further into it. But before we delve into the book of Philippians, let me tell you about a conversation I was having with some friends of mine this last week. We were talking about relationships, not the intimate relationship of husband or wife, or even of parent and child, but the general relationships, you know, siblings, friends, colleagues, family members at church, you know, that sort of thing. And we were noting how often these relationships can end up broken. And we were noting, actually, how difficult it was to repair them once they are broken. It takes a special person to be the one to be submissive, to be the one to bring grace into the situation, and perhaps provide forgiveness where it's not deserved. But then as Christians, that rings a bell with us, doesn't it? And then we notice as we chatted that often the cause of the break in the relationship is fueled by one thing. Fueled by perhaps jealousy or perception of someone doing better than you, someone having more than you, being happier or more content than you. And we see that again in our gospel reading. At the very beginning of that lovely gospel reading, we hear someone say, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." He lives in a society where the inheritance goes to the eldest. He knows that. But he still comes to the rabbi, Jesus, and says, "It's not fair, is it? No, it's not fair. I mean, he's set up for life now. He's happy and content. What about me?" But the guy who says that must have been surprised by the response of Jesus. He says, "You're focusing on the wrong thing. Stop being greedy." And then he goes on to tell this parable, this story of a man who has way more than he needs, and he builds up his stock. Maybe these days it would literally be stock, wouldn't it? But he builds up his barns full of wheat and the like. And then, of course, it's snatched away from him overnight. And we've seen that happen to some people in the last year, haven't we? We've seen that happen, sadly, to some people. And then Jesus says to him and to those people, "Do not worry about it. Don't chase things that the world tells you will make you happy, but seek God, seek Jesus. Jesus is the answer." Now, we know Jesus is always the answer, but there's more to it than that. And in my discussion with my friends, I spotted a link, a consistency again across those broken relationships. You see, a lack of contentment, jealousy or discontentment leads to disunity, leads to a breakup of that relationship, a lack of unity. So a lack of contentment can lead to a lack of unity. When you perceive others are doing better than you and that wells up in you, then unity is broken. And then I came back to Philippians and our reading. Paul's final part about the secret of happiness in chapter 4. And then we see, did you notice the structure in that? We see in verses 4 to 20, Paul talk about rejoicing in Jesus and being content in Jesus. We spoke about rejoicing last week, and we're speaking about contentment this week. But either side of that block in chapter 4, we see it bookended with the same thing. Last week, we read verses 1 to 3, where Paul, you know, the head of the church at the time, pleads with other church leaders to be unified. He pleads with this is like Justin Welby pleading with us. He pleads with the church leaders to be unified. And then we go to the back end of the book, the last few verses, verses 21 to 23, where we see him say, greet all God's people, greet everyone in God's people, even those who work for the people that have trained me up. Greet them and unify with them. He says, you know, he talks about Caesar's household, the very people that have got Paul chained up. He's saying, some of these guys have become Christians. Greet them in unity. Paul's secret to happiness is, yes, being content in where he is. Paul's secret to happiness and contentment is, yes, being content with what God has given him. But it's also, and I think if we go deeper, it's predominantly in unity. Unity with those around him, unity in his church, unity in his community. The secret to contentment in Christ is to love the people that Christ loves. What about you? Because this is all very good and we can go home and have our nice Sunday lunches in the garden maybe. But actually, if we don't take something away from this today, then we're wasting our time, aren't we? What are you chasing in contentment, I wonder? Is it possessions like it was for me? Is it money like it was for me? Maybe not. But is it unity? Are there, I wonder, broken relationships in your life? Are there, I wonder, even broken relationships in our church? I mean, the rector doesn't know everything. I'm sure there must be broken relationships in our church. I want to suggest to you that Paul would say to you, doesn't matter how healthy you are, doesn't matter if you have all the things you want, if you have broken relationships in your life, if you're not unified with the people that God loves, you will never be content, you will never find peace. Can you imagine the difference to your well-being if you could find peace in those relationships? Now, I'm not saying you can fix every relationship. Of course you can't. It takes two to do that, doesn't it? You may need to be the person that starts off moving in the right direction. You may be the person who unites with God, with his Holy Spirit, to build bridges toward those he created. What I'm saying is, when you play your part, that is when contentment in Christ will come. That is when the peace that passes all understanding will fall upon you. And as ever, guys, you know me. I'm preaching to myself here as much as you. Susie and I were just chatting about it earlier on. We've got some work here to do. We're just human. But we can do this because we read, don't we? You can do all this through him who gives you strength. That's what we read in Philippians. It's often misunderstood, that line, often as a, you know, you can do anything you want. You can do it. You know, you've got the power. Go boy, go boy, go girl, you know. It's not saying that at all. What that line is saying is that the moment that you choose to unite with the Holy Spirit in loving God and loving people, the moment that you choose to love the people that God created, that's what you can do. You'll have the strength to do it. It may seem difficult now, but the Holy Spirit will give you the strength. Can you imagine what would happen in Bedhampton if we individually, apart from the well-being for each of us, if we individually sought to be content in Christ? Can you imagine? There'd be an explosion of God's people here. But I think more importantly, there would be an explosion of the Holy Spirit in your life. More importantly, you would find that peace reign upon you. That Holy Spirit would fall upon you and you would suddenly find that you are content in Christ. Now that is a secret to happiness. But it takes you to step up, and it's within your grasp, because you can do all this through him who gives you strength. We're going to say our creed in a moment, and then in a little while Sandra will say our prayers. And then as I prepare the table for communion, I'm going to ask Carol to play for a little while. And while Carol's playing, or while Sandra's praying, I'd encourage you to seek the Holy Spirit and ask him what God's asking you to do about that information we've shared today. But for now, if we grab our booklets, You turn to the thing that says the creed. So I'm missing my deacon today. I should have, Emily's been deaconing for me over on the Wednesdays, but we'll say the creed together. And so we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sandra's going to come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, you promised through your Son Jesus to hear us when we pray in faith. Give grace to Christopher, our bishop, as he prepares for his retirement, and be with those who seek his replacement. May they always be guided by you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for all who are exploited by others, for those who live in fear of violence, and those denied freedom of speech or movement. We particularly think of the people of Syria and Myanmar. Bring your light to places where people hate and weapons kill. We pray for all who are hungry in this world of plenty, and for those who seek a safe shelter. Lord, we look beyond ourselves and out to the people of Bedhampton. We pray that the young may feel safe and secure in the love of their families, that young people influenced by their peers and demands of society may turn to what is right, that those aware of increasing age and frailty may feel valued as members of their families and their communities. Lord, in your mercy. As we take steps towards the release of the confines of this COVID pandemic, we also give you thanks for the scientists who have been able to develop the vaccines that will help us be protected. Give us patience, Lord, during these times. We bring before God all who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, and are mentioned on our weekly sheet, and those for whom we are concerned or worried, and all whose situations weigh heavily on us. We ask for your healing and peace. We pray too for all who mourn the loss of a loved one, including the families of Olive Sheesby and Diane McKay, and our Queen, and all the members of the royal family who mourn the loss of Prince Philip. May they know the hope of your promises and the comfort of your love. Lord, in your mercy. In a moment of quiet, we remember. service to our own hearts. And finally, Lord, in the difficult times, help us to live in love and harmony with those around us. Let there be peace in our dealings, in our homes, and in our hearts. Merciful Father, accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And we've remained seated for our peace, of course, which is in itself a unifying act, isn't it? And when we come together normally. But we'll have to remain seated for today. With the body of Christ in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Well, I'll give you each other that knowing nod and I'll prepare the table. And during this time, as I say, try and reflect on what God was saying to you during the service. Just before we begin, often we pray for God's gifts, as you've got on your sheet there. And just to let you know how gracious God is to us, this isn't official yet, but it does look as though we will break even as a church this year. Now, there is no right for us to break even this year. You guys are very generous. But with all the hires that we've not had this year, and one thing and another, and expenses, and the things like not having the summer show, we should be many thousands in debt, as it were. But we will break even. Now that is through the grace of God and your generosity. And so as we say this prayer together, know that we are thanking God for all that he does. Let us pray for the gifts of the people. Gracious God, accept these gifts and with them our lives to be used in your service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things. who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son. Born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And so from page 12, we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, one body, because we all share in the one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And so, friends, draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. As ever, if you know and love the Lord Jesus, you're welcome to share in communion with us this morning. As I bring the bread to you, if you don't want to receive the bread, just hold your hands down and I'll say a short prayer and move on. There's a long Anglican tradition, as you know, that says if you receive one or other of the elements of communion, you have received communion. So we will share bread this morning. I will come to you, and then I will come back, receive my own communion, and we will receive the blood of Christ for all of us. The body of Jesus broken for you. The body of Christ who loves you broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Jesus who loves you beyond measure, broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Jesus broken for you. The body of Christ who sees you and loves you, broken for you. The body of Christ who loves you beyond measure, broken for you. The body of Jesus who knows you and loves you, broken for you. The body of Christ who sees you and loves you, broken for you. The body of Jesus who has always loved you, broken for you. The body of Christ who knows you and loves you, broken for you. The body of Christ who sees you and loves you, broken for you. The body of Christ who knows you and loves you, broken for you. The body of Jesus who loves you beyond measure, broken for you. The body of Christ who knows your heart and loves you, broken for you. The body of Christ who loves you beyond measure, broken for you. The body of Jesus who knows you and loves you, broken for you. The body of Jesus who sees you and loves you, broken for you. The body of Christ who knows you and loves you, broken for you.
Amen.
I receive Christ's body for all people who are unable to receive this morning. The blood of Christ shed for all God's people. Living God, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith, that we may see him in all his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you, now and forever. Amen. And we say our prayer of thanks together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We who the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. If anything that has been said today has made you want to have a chat or to seek some prayer, then do feel free to get hold of me either after the service or later on in the week. But for now, the peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.